right, welcome into another episode of Ball Don't Lie. I'm Cole Polly.
I'm Caleb Jacana.
Super pumped to be here this week. Super pumped that y'all are here, even on spring break. So glad y'all are here listening to us, hanging out with us. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different stuff today. A lot of vacation-related topics, a lot of stuff that'll help you relax. I know y'all are going to enjoy it. But first off, I had to kind of get a little dig in at Caleb's boy, Steven Adams. I'm seeing this thing here about how he accepted a 3-year-old prom invite from Twitter. A girl invited him to prom on Twitter over 3 years ago, and he just recently said yes. Like just a couple of weeks ago, said yes.
I know. It's hard. I'm trying to think because he's from New Zealand. And y'all have to understand, this girl was, she was in law school at the time.
Right, not high school,
yeah. She was in law school, and I didn't even know until today that there was a such thing called a lawyer prom?
No, I didn't know about lawyer proms either, not at all.
So, yeah, she invited him to the lawyer prom. And so we got to look at this from Steve Adams' perspective. Like, he's fresh out of New Zealand, maybe 2-3 years removed, and... Not only is it a prom, it's a lawyer prom. Like, what is that? I don't know what it is.
I would not blame him for not knowing about lawyer proms.
Yeah. So
at all.
He replies 3 years later. That's I can't defend that. Like, you still should reply and be like, hey, what is that? But 3 years later on Twitter, he goes, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Like, all right, Steve, that happened already, though. She had a funny quote, though, where she said that he purposely... This is her theory. He purposely waited 3 years for to avoid commitment. I don't know how that works, but that was her theory. So
I'm not surprised that this is her perspective. But now she's like a bona fide lawyer. Like that's how long this has been.
Yeah,
she's a legitimate lawyer now.
She went, studied for the bar exam, took the bar exam, passed. It's probably working for a law firm.
Yeah,
that's how long. I can't defend the 3 years.
No,
I can't. Check your Twitter, man.
No explanation. Yeah, I have no explanation for this. No idea. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, like I was saying, we got lots of we got spring break type of things to talk about. I'm wondering, you got big plans for spring break?
Me? You know, I'm gonna be back home. Check me out, Flower Mound,
Texas, baby.
Flower Mound, Texas. Probably be balling up at Lifetime or something. Burn some calories.
All right, so y'all go check out Caleb at Lifetime Flower Mound location.
Yeah, Ball Don't Lie.
Ball Don't Lie, baby. So I was just, you know, there's a lot of, around this time, there's a lot of kind of spring break destination talk. You know, yeah. There's Galveston, there's South Padre, there's Corpus Christi, there's Florida.
Panama City Beach.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of spring break vacation destinations out there. So kind of in relation to the NBA, I'm wondering which NBA cities are the most attractive ones to you and which ones are kind of the least attractive. Like how would you judge the NBA cities? Like what do you think would attract you? If you're a free agent, what kind of city do you think it is that you'd like to go to?
I want to go to a city where the fans are devoted.
Yeah, you want good fans. Yeah. You don't want fans that boo you.
I don't want bandwagons either.
No.
Like when we're losing, if I'm an NBA player, especially from their perspective, like why would you want people who cheer you on when you're winning and then when you're losing, they're like, oh, I don't want to cheer you on. Like,
absolutely. You
don't want
fair
weather fans out here.
You want true fans.
Yeah, I want true fans.
Just like the Ball Don't Lie fans, true fans.
Yeah, y'all are true fans. Don't ever forget that. yeah, so I want good fans. A place just, you know, that's aesthetically pleasing, you know, so maybe Miami, you know,
Miami's
maybe
a
beach area, maybe the Bay, California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Texas is pretty good too, you know, they got no state tax, so that helps.
Yeah, good spots in Texas. There's Houston, Dallas. I mean,
Houston's a pretty good spot too, I feel like. Houston would be a good place to play. Obviously New York, just because New York's New York.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good place to play.
Yeah, I mean, if you... Seeing that, I feel like, I mean, New York's kind of a polarizing destination. I feel like you gotta really want that limelight.
Yeah.
I mean, because the media is just, I mean, the media presence is just pretty crushing there if you're a player.
It's ridiculous.
So for, like, to me, that's kind of a downside. I don't think I would choose New York, mostly because of that. But on the other side of the coin, you got nightlife. You got, you get to play at Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world. I mean, people, I think people think of it as an attractive free agent destination.
Yeah, just because it's New York.
Yeah, it's like, New York City.
New York City, man. Who doesn't want to play for New York?
Exactly. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's ever not going to be thought of as an attractive free agent destination. So, I mean, you brought up, I mean, there's LA too. We haven't even really talked about LA. Yeah. Everyone, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with the media. That's just my opinion. I think that has a lot to do with the media, why everyone thinks of LA as such a destination. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, the whole,
I mean, a lot of history there.
Yeah. That's totally true. I mean, if you go to the Lakers, that's a lot of team history, but I think the media kind of plants that notion. I mean, because since a lot of the national media is planted in LA, I think that kind of proliferates that thought that LA is such a destination, but it is, I mean, it is a huge city, and it is, I mean, it's the nightlife, it's kind of the, it's a glitz and glamour life. I would understand why a free agent, you know, I can understand why that would be an attractive destination too.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, if you go to LA, you're going to be talked about, good or bad. I mean, they talk about Caldwell Pope.
Yep.
I mean, not saying the guy's bad, but he's not a superstar either, you know, he's just a role player, a really good 3-and-D role player. But they'll talk about him, obviously, and, well, now if you go to L.A., you're going to have to deal with LeVar Ball.
Exactly.
He's a whole nother monster in and of himself. So, but if I had to choose one place, I think I'd go to Miami.
Miami's number
like
one.
I feel like Miami's just a really nice. Yeah. I've never been there, but from the way it appears and looks, great organization, great place to be at in general. I believe they have no state tax either.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I feel like Miami's just a really nice, cool, besides it being pretty humid all the time.
Yeah, but they got, I mean, at least it's warm. That's not a harsh winter. I mean, you got the season during the winter. That's not too harsh of a winter. You got the beach.
You got the beach, man. It's a good, I feel like it'd be a good place. It's a good place.
Yeah. I like that choice. And I'm totally, on this one, I'm totally biased. If I'm thinking about a best one, I'm totally biased because San Antonio is really my favorite city in the world. I mean, that's close to home for me. I'm from the Hill Country in Texas. San Antonio is the closest. I mean, that's why I'm a lifelong Spurs fan. That's the closest. I mean, that's the closest NBA city to my home.
Yeah.
And I love the Riverwalk. I love the culture and everything in San Antonio. So I would easily pick San Antonio. But that's my team. That's my home. So if I were going to go outside of that, I'm going to kind of go a little bit off the. I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here. Not New York City. Not LA. Not Miami. I'm going to go with the Bay Area. I'm going to go with Oakland for Golden State. Not necessarily, like, I'm not even really comment. I'm not saying, like, I would go over there and bandwagon with KD and Curry and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying location-wise, the city.
Yeah.
If I was going to choose a city, I'm a big Bay Area fan. I've been to Oakland once. I'm an Oakland Raider fan.
Yeah.
I got to go to a game once, me and my dad. It was a great trip. San Francisco is a beautiful city. So I just love that Bay Area, and I think it's underrated. Like, I think it's a blue-collar city. I think it's good people there. I think it's good weather. I just think that's a underrated spot. So I think as far as just a city, I think that's what I would choose. I'm also even outside of what's the most attractive to you, I'm wondering what's the least attractive to you. Like, what's at the bottom of the totem pole as far as NBA cities? What's the least attractive?
This might be a little bit stereotypical, but Minnesota.
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Utah.
Yeah. Utah. Not a lot of, maybe not the most nightlife in Utah.
Yeah, I don't think there's much going on in Utah. even though LeBron's there, I feel like Cleveland's boring too.
Oh man, Cleveland is not the, I mean, he's Akron born and raised. But
so that's his home, but like, you take away LeBron, like, would I want to go play in Cleveland, Ohio?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No. It's cold.
No way.
What else is there? I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Cleveland's that appealing to me.
Yeah, I feel like Detroit is a little bit of a tough city too.
Yeah, Detroit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm being a Texan. I mean, we're both Texans, but
yeah,
I'm adverse to that cold weather. When I think about a cold winter, if I think about Detroit or Minnesota or one of those northern cities,
it's freezing.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, That's a big factor in my mind.
Yeah, dude, the weather is a huge factor. I don't know. Boston, I feel like Boston is like a great sports town.
Great sports town, definitely.
But I don't know if I'd like it. One, because, I mean, like, I like the cold, but if I am cold, I don't like it. Does that make sense?
Sure, I got you.
I like the cold because I can layer up, but, like, I don't want it to be 22 degrees on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much.
You don't want every winter day to be, like, you know, down there in the zero range and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean I've lived Texas my entire life, you know. Once it gets past, like, 50, it's pretty cold to me.
I tend to agree with you there. I think my least attractive is Detroit. They're just, it's been tough. I don't want to pile on Detroit or anything.
Remember the last time they had a superstar?
Oh goodness, no. I mean, they got Blake Griffin, but you're right.
Detroit.
So
I'm thinking, like, when's the last time like a big name went there?
Oh, like exactly. Free agency.
Yeah.
Oh man. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, the last time they were really good was when Big Shot Chauncey was over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
was
Ben Wallace. And Rasheed.
But that was a bunch of, there wasn't, I guess, like a bona fide, like.
Those were scrap. I mean, that was a scrappy group. That was a team. Mm-hmm. That was a team in the truest sense. So, I mean, not really superstars. I mean, they didn't have like free agent superstars. Yeah. They never really have. Yeah. I think there's a good reason behind that. Yeah. Shout out Big Sean, though. I mean,
hey,
I don't want to pile on D-Town, man. But, anyway, I wouldn't choose Detroit for my vacation destination. You picked a good vacation destination, Miami, for your city.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering, speaking on NBA coaches a little bit, shift gears to NBA coaches. I'm just going to say that some of them have easier jobs than others. We know that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Steve Kerr. They roll the ball. I think Steve Kerr is one of the best coaches in the league. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But in the regular season, they roll the ball out. He could let the team coach themselves. It's KD. It's Curry. They're going to win. I mean.
You saw a lot when Iguodala and Draymond Green were coaching against the Suns. They won by, I believe, more than 20 points.
Exactly. I mean, when it comes to the regular season, that's a cushy job. That's as good as it gets. And I think he knows that. Mm-hmm. But other coaches in the league are having to grind through a regular season, whether it be because of injuries or kind of a depleted roster, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. So I'm curious who it is out there in the league that you think deserves, and there's no spring break in the NBA. I mean, they have an off season, but, you know, in the middle of a grueling season, mm-hmm. there's no spring break for them. So I'm wondering who you would send on a nice vacation somewhere in the Caribbean, if you could. I'm wondering who you would send out for a week for a vacation. Who deserves it?
I'm going to give it to, you might appreciate this one, Greg Popovich.
Oh, my man.
Yeah.
Pop, my man.
I'm going to give it to Pop, man.
Good choice.
The guy's, I think he's the best coach of all time. I'll put him above Phil Jackson. I got problems with Phil Jackson, though, but that's another time. That's another story for another day. But yeah, they've been consistent. Like year in and year out, and you can say he's had all these great players, and of course he has. But right now, they've had Kawhi for a total of 9 games, I believe.
Yep, yep.
And I mean, they're the 6th seed right now, but 2 days ago, they were the 3rd seed. And they have one all star who was pretty much the last all star, I might add. I mean,
literally the last pick of the all star yeah. draft, exactly.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge. And he's nothing to, you know, be disrespectful towards or anything, but. He's an all-star nonetheless, but he was the last all-star chosen. And the rest are role players. I mean, Ginobili's getting old. Tony mm-hmm. Parker lost his starting role because he's getting a little bit older too. But, I mean, he gets a bunch of guys who aren't really big-name people, and he still makes it work. They don't play ISO ball. That's why I love them, because it's basketball at its finest.
Absolutely.
It's basketball at its finest.
It's my favorite. Mode.
So I'm going to give it to Pop. I sent him to the Caribbean because the guy is, it's hard to be consistent in the NBA, and he's been consistent with, I don't want to say lackluster talent, but mm-hmm. not the best.
Not the same as kind of what the Spurs are used to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this has been like a tougher yeah. regular season than most to try to get through with less star power, like you're saying.
And he's still making it work, which is just amazing to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. Me trying not to be biased. I mean, I didn't want to pick Greg Popovich because I didn't want to be biased. But I'm gonna go over. I'm gonna give my vacation to a guy that is just under constant turmoil, constant stress. Tyronn Lue. It is such a constant grind. I mean, and he hasn't. I mean, Greg Popovich has obviously been at it for a long time. Tyronn Lue, it's been a shorter time here in Cleveland. This is only his second full season. This will be his third go around in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine a more difficult position to be in head coaching wise.
That's true.
Now, you're going to get people on the other side of the coin saying, well, you got LeBron James, so what's so difficult about that? But the way this regular season has gone and just the back and forth and the IT and trading half the team and now they got a new team and the losing streaks, it's just such a roller coaster with Cleveland that I end up, and I respect Tyronn Lue. I'm a little bit undecided on how great of a coach he is necessarily strategically, but I respect him, and I can't imagine there being a more tumultuous situation, because what I will say for the Spurs is that they're, and in large part it's due to Greg Popovich, but their system is completely solid.
Yeah.
It's not a more stressful season than others in that respect. I mean, from the top down, they're always going to be a solid organization. And there's not going to be a lot of drama necessarily surrounding their season, as opposed to Cleveland, where Tyronn Lue is just putting out a fire every day.
I mean, hey, I love LeBron. He's one of the greatest players ever, but he's a drama king, man. I swear, drama follows him wherever he goes. There's always something, and then and you find on ESPN or Bleacher Report or whatever, and it's always something to do with LeBron. They blah, 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 blah. Him and IT aren't getting together. JR's throwing soup at people's heads.
Literally, what else can you come up with?
I don't know.
Players are throwing soup at assistant coaches. I mean,
I swear every day there's something happening in that locker room, and it's ridiculous. You got Tristan Thompson having E-channel cameras coming in to film a TV show because he's dating a Kardashian.
Yes, he's got a new baby on the way with Khloe Kardashian. Yeah. Congratulations, Tristan. I mean,
I'm like, yeah, that's great, but every day, man, it's like, can we just stick to basketball?
Oh, boy.
I swear, man, I think he thrives on it. He thrives. It's it's probably uncharted territory when there's not drama surrounding
yes.
it. So I'm not saying he creates it, but there's a lot of drama around him. There's a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, 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 and yeah,
credit to Ty Lue. He's got him through it.
He's just weathering it, man. If I could send him down to the Caribbean for a little bit, I would do it.
Yeah.
I would absolutely do it. And not to mention LeBron's impending free agency.
Yeah,
that's a stressful situation.
You never know when he's leaving.
That's stress to be under. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't know if he's staying, if he's going. That's every other question from the media: is LeBron this offseason? And it's every day. I mean, it never lets up with Cleveland.
Yeah, and if you're Ty Lue. If LeBron leaves, are they keeping me?
Yeah, yeah. What type of team am I going to be coaching now?
Yeah, like the reason he's there is because of LeBron. If LeBron leaves, Dan Gilbert has no reason to keep you in your
current
position.
Dan Gilbert even staying? Is the owner staying? There's another thing.
It's just too much. It's too much happening in that organization. So, yeah, I agree with you that I didn't even see that. I didn't even think about that one. But, yeah, he deserves a vacation, definitely.
Yeah, and so kind of speaking of vacations – I was going to say, I noticed on a, and I'm going to go ahead and give credit here where it's due to Jalen Rose, ESPN personality, and another podcast master, Jalen and Jacoby, that's one of my favorite podcasts.
That's
great stuff. And Jalen Rose, one of the things that I have taken from him that I always remember is he likes to talk about teams and when they celebrate their season, which kind of just means certain teams when they get to the playoffs. And of course, I mean, every player, they're going to compete, you know, they're going to compete when they're on the court. That's not what I'm saying at all. But some teams, though, are just satisfied. They're going to be satisfied at the end of the day to get to a certain level. And if they can make it to that point, whether it's making the playoffs for certain teams, whether it's winning a round in the playoffs or making the conference finals, making the finals, whatever level that is, that team is going to celebrate their season if they can make it to that point. And I'm kind of just wondering how many teams there are really out there this year that you think will only be satisfied with a championship at the end of the day? Like the Warriors, I think, is a perfect example of they've been there. They've been there to the mountaintop. They've got two championships. They're not going to be satisfied unless they win the championship this season. If they lose in the finals, it's a true disappointment for their team this season. I'm wondering how many other teams there are in the league that you think there are like that. If it's a true disappointment if they don't win the championship this year.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. It's actually a really small amount, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm going to go with Cleveland on this one because they're going to get to the finals. They're going to get there. They're going to get to the finals. So what's the point? Like, so they have to win, you know. Celebrating a season is seeing growth, I feel like. Seeing growth from where you previously were at. So for them, they got to win a ring, I feel like. Other teams that is championship or bust, basically, I don't think there's – I mean
people
maybe
are gonna
make some arguments maybe for it.
Yeah, Rockets. I mean, what do you think about the Rockets?
For the Rockets, for me, I see them as just kind of have that Toronto –
Mentality.
Great regular season team, you know, play stellar throughout the regular season. But for some reason, James Harden, and we've seen this in Chris Paul too, when it gets to the playoffs, they aren't the same guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the pressure or what, which is understandable. But, you know, if they're paying you that much money and you claim you're the best in the league, you got to show up when it counts the most. And these guys tend to have a tendency to do the opposite. So for me, I mean, if Chris Paul gets out the second round, that would be his first time in his, 15-year career?
Exactly. If he makes it to a conference finals, that's going to be the first time he's done it.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And Chris Paul is regarded as one of the best point guards to ever live.
Yeah.
And then James Harden, who's he's phenomenal. And I mean, he's phenomenal, but like you saw last year against the Spurs, without Kawhi on the floor.
Disappeared.
He was gone.
Yeah.
It's an after image or something. I don't know. I don't know what happened. And he just didn't show up. I mean, like, he's been up past the second round. He played in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors when Dwight was there.
Yeah, and was in the finals with Oklahoma City.
The final with OKC. Mm-hmm. But he just has a bad history of not performing when it matters the most. Yeah. I'll give him a pass for the against Golden State because it was him and Dwight and that was about it. But like last year, he didn't show up. And in OKC, I remember watching that game vividly where he missed a wide open layup on a breakaway. I almost broke something. Golly.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
He just has a tendency just not to show up when it matters the most. So for these guys, I feel like they celebrate their season if they get past the second round.
I don't think I would disagree with you there. And I think they definitely celebrate their season if they make it to the finals. Definitely if they get past the Golden State Warriors and they make it to the finals, I think that's a win for their season. I think subconsciously they celebrate their season at that point. If they were in the finals, they're going to go hard to win a championship, but
yeah.
I don't think they're hungry to that point necessarily, to the same point where LeBron James is or where Golden State is to win a championship this year. Mm-hmm. And I think Boston's the same way. I think I would put Boston in the same category. And you had kind of been saying this to me before the show, but you were saying you think if Boston gets past Cleveland, if they're the first team in 7 years that can get past the LeBron James team and make it to the finals, they're going to be happy with that.
Yeah,
I don't see how they wouldn't be.
That's an accomplishment in and of itself. Stopping someone who's been consistently coming out of the East for the last 7 years. This is gonna be eighth if he goes.
This would be the eighth if he makes it
straight. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
the same guy is going to the finals for the last 7 years.
I mean, he dominates the conference. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. It would be an accomplishment. I think it'd be an accomplishment in and of itself. But if you ask them personally, they're not gonna blatantly say, "Hey, yeah, that was we did good." Because we cut out the East.
No, they would absolutely not say that straight up. No. And I think really, honestly, most other teams outside of those, I think most teams would be pretty satisfied to make it to the conference finals. You can make an argument for the Spurs because it's an experienced team and it's a team that's been there. I mean, Monta Ginobili, Tony Parker, these guys have multiple championships. Kawhi Leonard has a championship. Danny Green. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of guys with championships already. So I don't think I would necessarily say they'd be satisfied to make it to the conference finals this season, but I think with everything that's gone on and it being such a tumultuous season, I think to a certain extent, they don't realistically expect to win the championship this year. But that is one organization, at least, that is kind of that's the expectation. I think for the Spurs and for their fans, it's not a fully satisfying season unless they win the championship.
Yeah.
But a lot of other teams, like I think Portland's going to be happy if they win a round in the playoffs. I think the Timberwolves are going to be pretty happy just to make the playoffs, even if they can make it for the first time in 15 plus years since they had KG.
Yeah.
Denver, they're going to be happy if I think they're going to be happy if they make the playoffs. Absolutely. Yeah. Philly on the east side with the process.
Yeah.
That's a happy playoff berth right there.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, they're probably happy if they get around.
I feel like they get to the second round.
Yeah.
Second round or further, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there are a lot of other teams that really need to get to the conference finals before they're going to go ahead and celebrate their season. I mean, maybe the Raptors, maybe the Wizards. I mean, they've been in the playoffs enough times at this point where I think they want to at least make it to the conference finals.
Yeah, I don't think they've been to the conference finals in a while.
And they would be the most I think that would be the most likely team to tell you. I think John Wall or Bradley Beal would be the most likely. If I were going to pick a team in the league that I think would tell you that they would be happy with less than a championship, I think the Wizards would say straight up, we want to make it to the conference finals.
Yeah, they couldn't get past IT last year in Boston.
Yep, exactly. So. I mean, all the way down to game 7 for that. So I think the conference finals is a big goal for them. Like, I think that would be a big breakthrough for them. Like, that's a very clear celebrate their season if they make it past a Boston or a Cleveland or possibly even a Toronto could be. In the second round. But if they're able to make it to that point, I think they absolutely celebrate their season. They pop champagne.
Popping champagne. Yeah, definitely. As you said, yeah, I agree with you. Especially with the Washington, man. I feel like they've hit like a wall.
Yeah.
And like they were really good and everyone was like, oh, go watch out for Washington. And then like it's just been for the past 2-3 years, semifinals or first round and an exit.
Yeah.
And they've never been in the Eastern Conference Finals. To challenge LeBron, and a lot of time, like a lot of the pundits would say, "Who gives LeBron the hardest chance?" You know, when Kyrie was still on the Cavs, and they were saying Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, they were.
Yeah, and they never obviously got to go against each other because they couldn't get past the second round. But they should celebrate their season if they get to the conference finals, especially this year because it's a lot difficult than it was last year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and I mean, I think with the dynamic backcourt that they have with John Wall and Bradley Beal, I think people have expected more out of them than they've done in the past.
Mm.
But I think they get away with that nod of approval. I think they will be approving of themselves if they make the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And so kind of switching gears over to TCU Hoops, they've had definitely a season that I think a lot of people would approve of. Speaking of,
I approve of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It looks like it's going to be an NCAA tournament berth. First time in 20 years. I think everybody in the TCU community is going to be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of whatever they do in the tournament is a little bit, it's just gravy. I mean, I think people are going to celebrate this season no matter what at this point, as long as they make the tournament, which they're expected to. And so speaking of all this celebrating, I'm wondering, I want you to pick one TCU player to celebrate that you've enjoyed watching the most this season. Like, who have you gotten the most enjoyment out of watching? Who do you want to shine the spotlight on?
I want to shine the spotlight on Alex Robertson. He has stepped up since Jalen Fisher.
Yeah.
He tore his MCL, I believe.
Yes, it's another knee injury. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was meniscus or what it was.
Yeah, he messed up his knee again. So Alex Robertson Alex Robertson has had to move from the shooting guard to the point guard spot, and he's played it pretty well, you know, getting guys the ball, getting the tough layups, and doing what he usually does. So I just want to shine a light on him, man, because he had to step into a different role that he's not really used to, even though he's had a little bit of a feel for it as he recently, I think, I don't know how long it was ago, but he had the record for most assists in a game. By
17 in one game, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
and he's got that point guard instinct, but he absolutely stepped into a bigger role with Fisher being out, and he had some games in there. I mean, and other guys have gotten some more. Like Sean Olden has stepped into a bigger role and given Alex Robinson a little bit more breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
But especially early on when Jalen Fisher was injured, I mean, he's played some games with major minutes, pretty close to the full 40 minutes at times. So, I mean, he's had a heck of a season, and the way he's really kind of grinded through it and stepped into that role with the injury, I think that's a pretty good choice by you.
Yeah, if I have one critique for Alex Robertson, though, during the spring break, man, just hit the free throw line, man. We need you to hit those free throws, bro.
Absolutely.
We need you to hit them, man. We need it.
Yes.
Leaving too many points on the ground.
Yes. Hit the practice court. Get that free throw stroke right. I absolutely agree with you. The player that I kind of want to shine the light on here and that I want to celebrate is a senior. The other night played his last game in Schollmeyer Arena. I want to go with Kenrich Williams.
All Big 12? Second team?
All Big 12 second team, yes. Yeah. Yes. And I thought that was a very deserving honor.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Hustle, as they call him, he's had an outstanding career. He came from junior college. Even once he was at TCU, missed an entire season due to injury. But in his three seasons that he's been healthy at TCU, he's been an amazing player. I've loved watching him. He's not small. He's about 6'7", 6'8". But he's an extremely instinctive rebounder. He's a double-double machine.
Very versatile, too.
Absolutely. He's a great defender. I mean, he does it all for the Frogs. And I think they can go as far as Kenny Hustle can take him in the tournament. He's such an all-around player. I'm hoping he has a chance to get drafted, too. I've heard he has possibly second-round draft stock.
That's good.
Yeah, I would love to see him get drafted. I've just enjoyed watching him play so much because he's such an all-around player, like you said. So versatile, such an instinctive rebounder, great scorer at every level, shoots the three, posts up, I mean, does it all.
He reminds me of Nick Batum.
Yeah, he's a little bit similar to Nick Batum. He's got kind of that all-around game.
Yeah, the all-around game, not really, I guess, like specializing in anything, but just the ability to do everything.
Does it all. Which is better.
So yeah. Does it all.
Yeah, I've just loved watching Kenrich Williams. So anyway, that's our show this week. Be sure to tune back in next week. We're going to have another big show for you next Wednesday. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy the rest of your spring break. I'm Cole Polly.
I'm Caleb Giacona.
And the ball don't lie.